Turn with me, if you would, back to 2 Samuel 23. Our brother just read these five verses to us. And I love these verses. I love these five verses. I believe that these five verses are very deep. I believe they're deep. I believe they're meaningful. I believe they're wise. They grab my attention, and every time I run across them, I'll read this and enter into this. And then if I go a while without seeing it and I come back to it, every time that I see these verses, they make me want to ponder life and death, the things that really matter, things that truly matter. I've never known anything as precious or as fragile as life. I believe I entered into it more when God gave me the responsibility of two children. I believe I cared more for life at that point. But I've never known anything that is as fragile, as precious as life. You can't put a price on it. It is priceless. If somebody came and said, I'll give you $10 trillion right now if you give me your life, would that be worth it? It is priceless. But unfortunately, men throw it away every day. They're just throwing it away. And it breaks my heart. They're not considering their latter end. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. There are people I've met in this life and I love them. I cannot help it. I like them and I love them. And I do not want to see them go out into eternity losing their life. These verses are sobering to me. This is very sobering. Our Lord has given us a very short space of time to physically live. Man is born spiritually dead, but God has in goodness given men and women life, physical life on this earth. And it breaks my heart to see them not redeem that short, precious time by bowing the knee to Jesus Christ. It breaks my heart. Compared to eternity, our time on this earth is not even the blink of an eye. That's too long. We say it's a blink of the eye. It's a vapor of smoke. That's too long compared to eternity. And then after that short time is over, the soul is ushered out into eternity. It's either unto eternal glory in life, or it's unto eternal damnation in death. One thing is the deciding factor. I need to know what that one thing is. Whenever I see verses like this, and I pray the Lord would cause this to be the case for me every time. But sometimes when I see certain verses like this, it causes me to realize we're not playing games here. Oh, look at that little church. It's so cute. They got a couple of people in there going through the motions. They're religious. They do it over and over and over. Same thing. Worship their God. Come in. We're not playing games here, are we? We are not playing games. Time is flying. I'm not that old. But I can already look back and see chapter after chapter of my life that is over. I'll never get it back. You can see those stages in life when you say, well, that chapter's over. It's gone. Eternity is running at me. It's coming fast. It's coming quickly. And I need a hope going into it. I'm about to be catapulted into eternity. I'm about to be ushered into eternity. At some point, God put this soul in the body, and at some point, God's going to make this soul leave the body. That body's going to fall, and the soul is not. I need a hope going into eternity, don't you? Don't you need a hope going into eternity? Eternity is forever. It's forever. Look with me right here at 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. It says, now these be the last words of David. Isn't that sobering? This is the end of David's life. All of his ups, after all of those triumphs, after all of his downs, all of his falls, these be the last words of David. David died at a full age. He died at a full age. Let me show you that back in 2 Samuel chapter 5. This morning we're going to take a minute and move around 1 and 2 Samuel, and we're going to see a little bit about David's life. Second Samuel 5, look at verse 4. It says, David was 30 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. So he was 70, roughly. 70. That's when he died. And throughout his life, clearly the Lord's hand was on him. God gave him great strength. God gave him great courage. Go back with me to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. First Samuel 17, verse 1 says, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shochoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah in Ephesdamim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side of, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. That's 9.5 feet tall. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Saul was afraid. All of Israel was afraid. Look at verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. For thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and he took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, the Lord be with thee. Go ahead. The whole kingdom is resting on this. If you lose, we're their servants. He said, go ahead. We know how this story ends, don't we? David put a smooth stone in a sling and he went running at that giant. And he slung that stone and God caused. There are no accidents. We say there are no accidents with God. What that means is there are no accidents in this world. Everything is ordered. And God caused this smooth stone to fly through the air and hit that man. Here he is covered in, I can see him with all this chain steel all over him. And he's got a big shield between his shoulder blades here, you know, and he's got this big helmet on, and he's got all this stuff, and the one little spot where he had to see, and the one little spot right between his eyes, that rock sunk into his forehead, killed him. David ran up to him, pulled his own sword out of his sheath, and cut his own head off with his own sword. David was a man who was truly blessed by God. God was with him. He was a man who was anointed by God. Look with me at 1 Samuel 13. Look with me at verse 13. Samuel said to Saul, the king at that time, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people. Because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Who is that man? The man after his own heart. Who did he choose? Look at chapter 16. This is where he chose David. It's that 1 Samuel 16. Verse 1. The Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite. Now, David was born in Bethlehem. That's an interesting point, isn't it? He said, you're going to go to Bethlehem. I've provided me a king among his sons. Verse 2, and Samuel said, how can I go if Saul hear it? He will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee and say, I'm come to sacrifice to the Lord. and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, David's oldest brother. And he said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now watch the good providence of God. I love this. I just love this. This is how our Lord works. Verse 14 says, But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. The Lord sent a troubling spirit to Saul. Just troubled him. Verse 15, And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp, and it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. All of Saul's servants saw that he was troubled, and they said, Let us go find you a musician to play for you, somebody who can play well. Verse 17, And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. I've seen a boy play. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand, and Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Who does that remind you of? God said he's going to be king. And he moved in all the providence of David's life for Saul to say, I want him to grow up in my house right next to me. I want him to grow up watching the king. That happened for somebody else. God said, You're going to be the deliverer, Moses. And God worked it out for the Pharaoh of Egypt to say, He's going to grow up in my house. I'm going to teach him everything he needs to know to be a leader of the people. God prospered David. He anointed him. He loved him. He said, He's a man after my own heart. But here's the truth of the matter. David sinned against God. We just have seen all of this good. Could you imagine God doing that for one of us? And David sinned against this God. He spit in his face, and he sinned in spite of all of God's goodness. sinned against him. And here's the thing we already know. So have I. And so have you. David's sins are recorded in here. We've read them and we're not going to go read them. Some of David's sins are recorded in here and they're terrible. We read those and we acknowledge those. If that happened in our midst, we would be shocked, wouldn't we? They're terrible. But the truth is they're really not much different from ours. The end of verse 7 right here in 1 Samuel 16 says, "The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." He looks on the heart. And every single one of us has lied just like David. Every single one of us has cheated just like David. We've all murdered just like David. We've all sinned against the living God, and it has ruined our life. It has ruined our life. No matter what good could be said about David, and no matter what good can be said about you and me, when it gets right down to it, we're in the same boat as a man named Naaman. There was a man in the Scripture named Naaman. And the Scripture says he was captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. He was a leper. None of that could change the fact that this was a dying man. Every man in this life is in that boat. David was a great man. But he was a sinner. Sin ruined his life. Sin has ruined ours. The rest of David's days, and I read them, and we don't have time to. But the rest of David's days were totally surrounded by death and trouble and fear. They were ruined. His friends turned on him, betrayed him. His generals, David was king. His generals betrayed him, turned on him. His children betrayed him and turned on him. His own son, Absalom, died trying to kill David, his father, so he could take that kingdom. He wanted that kingdom. And he died trying to kill David. Sin ruined it all. And that's the case for every soul in this life. David, if he had left this life, we just read these are the last words of David. David entered into eternity. And we are all going to do the same thing. Had David left this life trusting in his strength, he would have entered eternity with no hope. He laid there a dying man. He couldn't even get out of the bed. He lost it. It was gone. Had David left this life trusting in his courage, he would have entered eternity with no hope. He spent his last days running in fear, hiding in caves, letting spit run down his beard, acting like a crazy man so he wouldn't die. He had no hope in anything that he was. Anything that he was. If he would have left this life trusting in his accomplishments. Some have accomplished great things. He made it all the way to king. God put him there. But he was the king. And his kingdom at this moment is about to be stripped away from him. He's about to lose it all. Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return." All the gold, all the silver, all the power, he can't take any of that with him. Not one bit of it. But here's the thing. None of those things were David's hope. None of those things were David's hope. David had one hope. And it's the only hope that will carry a sinner safely into eternity. One hope. Go with me back over to 2 Samuel 23. Verse 1 says, "Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning, when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain." Who is all that talking about? Who truly is the root of Jesse? The man who was raised up on high? The anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel. Who is the God of Israel? The Rock, the one that rules over men justly. Who is the light of the morning? The tender plant, the root out of dry ground. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. David's Savior. And this is what David said in verse 5. "Although my house be not so with God." David's house was a mess. His family was a mess. We can say, though, the same thing about this house. Right here. "The house that my soul dwells in. The house that I've polluted. The house that death has ruined and sin has ruined." Verse 5 says, "Although my house be not so with God, although it's not worthy to stand in the presence of God." People talk about being right with God. Now, he's going to die. He's on his deathbed, but it's okay. He's right with God. He's made his peace. That's not so. That's not so. No flesh in this life is right with God. No flesh can make peace with God. No flesh is worthy to stand in His presence, and no flesh is going to. He told Job, He told David, He told Isaiah, all flesh is grass. And He said it's going to be cut down. But this is what David said, "I found one hope. I found one hope." There is one hope. Verse 5, "Although my house be not so with God, yet He hath made with me an everlasting covenant." A foreverlasting promise. What was it? This is the best way I know to describe it this morning. I'm going to finish with this. God made an eternal promise. It came from God the Father and God the Son. And God used David to represent both of them. He used David to illustrate both of them in this covenant. David's own son, Absalom. He died while he was pursuing his father. His hair got caught up in a tree, wrapped around a tree branch, and it hung him. And they killed him while he was hanging there. And Absalom, he sinned against his own father. He hated him. And he did it by trying to get all the people to come over to his side. He went and he talked to all the people, and he got them to follow him instead of his father. And then once he had their confidence, he cried, "Crucify him. Kill. I want him dead. I will not have that man reign over me." And that's what this flesh did to his own Lord. That's what this flesh did to his own Lord. But whenever he pursued after David, he died in that pursuit. And David's servants came and told him of all this news. And I just want to show you this verse in 2 Samuel 18. Look back at 2 Samuel 18. Behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, "Tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee." And the king said unto Cushai, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Cushai answered, "The enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. They are all dead." Absalom is dead. Verse 33, "And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept. And as he went, thus he said, 'O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son.'" The promise of God, his God the Son, to his own is this: "My son, I have died for thee." David said, as a type of Christ, "This is my desire, that I die for thee." And that's what Christ did. "I died for thee. You sinned against me. You hated me without a cause. You deserved the death of a rebel, but I died for you. I took your place." After Absalom died, David came back in as king, king of Jerusalem. And while he was running, there's a man named Shimei. Have you ever heard of that man, Shimei? David was being chased by Absalom, running for his life. And Shimei was over on a hill cursing David, throwing rocks at David, throwing dirt on David. And one of his soldiers said, "You want me to go take his head off?" And he said, "No, it may be the Lord will requite me good for his evil this day." So this man Shimei cursed him, hated him. When David came back, look with me at 2 Samuel 19, verse 18. "There went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come to Jordan." Here he comes back in as king, and this man Shimei comes and falls down before him. "And said unto the king, 'Let not my lord impute iniquity unto me. Neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to heart. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king.'" That sounds like the same thing David begged in Psalm 51. "Have mercy on me. I acknowledge my transgressions." Verse 21, "But Abisha, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, 'Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed?' And David said, 'What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah, that you should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel?' Therefore the king said unto Shimei, 'Thou shalt not die.'" And the king sware unto him. David made the same promise that God the Father made to his people. This is what he said. This is what David said: "My son died today. No other soul in my kingdom will die." Here comes this man. He falls down for mercy. And David's captain said he ought to be killed. David said he's not going to be. my son died today. And God the Father said, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Christ died, and the king swear unto him. That right there is the only hope a sinner can enter eternity safely with. That's it. The promise of God in the death of his son. David said, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. This is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. Even though I can't physically see it yet. You don't see much when you look at me. And even though we can't see it yet, David said, my hope is ordered and sure. It's in the blood of my Savior. He is all my salvation. He is all my desire. And if God will let us say that, we can enter eternity with that. That's a hope we can enter eternity with. That's a promise that we have that will carry us safely all the way through. All right, let's stand together.